So I'm Annie, I'm an alcoholic and member of Interaction Group and in Geelong. I like saying Geelong because driver John in Canberra when I first got sober, he used to tease me and say, oh, Annie S or Annie P I was in those days from Geelong. So it's pretty special. I love that guy and he had a big impact into my sobriety, and there's a lot of people in Canberra and I like to remember those guys. When I speak, I'm a Leo too and I'm fairly terrified, so I guess the interesting thing, step one for me is in the big book it says that it's the one step that I can do 100%, and the other ones are growing on those steps, but to be absolutely, it's the foundation of my recovery is how well I do step one, and that I need to really understand it well. And when I read in the big book that we're rocketed into a fourth dimension, of which we had not imagined or something like that, but rocketed into a fourth dimension, and it kind of had an amazing thought for me. I thought, what are the dimensions, and being rocketed into something that's just totally different to how I am now. And so I reflect back and I realised that I don't want to go into the debate about when I became an alcoholic or how I became an alcoholic. So I used to say, it doesn't matter how the monkey got there, it's what are you going to do about it now. But the relevance for me of my drinking was how I felt before I picked up a drink. And I was shy and felt insignificant and out of place, and like I just didn't fit in. I couldn't converse with people, I couldn't do anything, and I just felt terrible. I seriously thought I was adopted. I thought I was different to my family. My family didn't really understand me, and later on friends, and I just didn't get it. I didn't get life, really. I just didn't grow up, and I don't know the reasons of why that is, but the relevance of that is that my first drink that I actually remember taking, I took for an effect. I took for a reason to make me feel better. I had to function, I had to do something, and I don't know where I got the idea, but I thought, if I have a drink, I'll get through this. And I had a drink and I got through it. And then I started going out to parties and things. I'd have a few drinks before I went and get to the parties, and halfway through the night I'd kind of swing either highlight of the party or the person picking a fight with somebody and getting into a huge argument and fight with them, or passing out outside until I came to, and then, or having a big chunder and then coming back in and starting all over again, you know. I just, that's how that was. And it was initially, it was good fun. I was outrageous and people thought I was funny, and I was just doing a whole lot of stuff that I probably wouldn't have normally done anyway. But then the people that I associated with started getting on their lives and moving on and doing things, and started getting sick of juvenile behaviour of, you know, when you're 18, 19, it's all right to muck around and be juvenile because you are juvenile. But when you start being 24 or something, and people have gone on, and I didn't even notice, you know, people had started, they must have been in their tertiary education while it was happening, and I didn't even notice they were doing it. And then they start going and getting jobs and getting married and having kids and doing stuff, and I was still running around like a mad little kid. And they were getting sick of me and telling me to grow up and get on with life. And I was starting to feel bad about myself again, and trying to tell them how I felt, and they didn't understand, and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, that was when then I thought I needed to... Drinking was a problem, and maybe I needed to control my drinking. And this is prior to AA days. Maybe I need to control my drinking, maybe I need to change drinks, maybe I need to change people that I associate with, maybe I need to change where I live. That's all what the problem is. I didn't realise it had anything to do with me. I didn't even understand an alcoholic to me was a person who drank metho under a bridge, and I wasn't doing that. So I didn't even understand what my problem was. And the first steps were about being powerless. That's what the problem was, but I didn't know that. I just thought it was a lack of control or lack of strength. Try harder, Annie, just do it. And so that's what I tried to do. And I would succeed for a certain length of time, and then I'd just get back into it again. It's too much, it's too hard, it's too terrible. Pick up a drink, and I'd just go around that circle again. And then I'd be sitting outside, passed out, sitting in the toilet, drunk, going to bed, and thinking, where did I get? How did this happen? What's happened? I just don't want to do this anymore. This is just not good, and I won't drink anymore. I'll stop for a certain... It's always just a certain length of time to get back to social drinking. That was my quest, to drink socially like everybody else. And I never achieved it. And that's what reached to my rock bottom. I went around that cycle until I reached a point in time where I was totally defeated, absolutely and totally defeated. I thought I was totally insane. I thought I should be locked up and the key thrown away, and I just didn't have any hope at all in my life, and I felt terrible. And I was 12-stepped into AA with the simple words of, well, I'm going to a meeting, do you want to come with me, and keep an open mind and listen to the similarities and not the differences. And that's all I understood about AA or anything. And I was so beaten and defeated, I went. And I don't remember the people in my first meeting, but I remember the feeling that I had was just absolute, incredible realisation that I was not alone. I was not the only person in the whole world who felt the way that I did and experienced that there was a room full of people, and they were describing how they felt and their emotions and what they'd done and how it was for them, that I just identified. I thought, that's amazing. And so there's a certain sense of relief for me in just understanding that aspect. And I went up to Canberra. I'm a Victorian, and so hence I used to get teased all the time about being a Mexican south of the border. And I was 26 when I came to AA, and 26 years ago, and so I spent two and a half years in Canberra, and so I was away from people that I knew, my family and everybody, so I was just able to immerse myself in AA, which was just so good for me. And and they were different, those meetings. I was quite often the only woman in a meeting, and I read the preamble. It's the only thing we used to read those days was the preamble, and they used to say it's men and women, and I knew I was going to get called next because I was the only woman in the room. And so and young, 26, old guys used to run after me and tell me I was too young to be an alcoholic, and I couldn't possibly be an alcoholic, that young women aren't alcoholics. And so I guess they were kind of the main differences that I had to fight through. They probably would have been good excuses if I'd wanted to say, well, I can't go to AA because they're being mean to me because I'm a Victorian, or because I'm a woman, or because I'm 26 and I haven't drunk enough. I haven't drunk for 30 years, I've only drunk for 8 years, and therefore they're telling me I'm not alcoholic, so therefore I'm not. Because at that stage I'd identified with what people were saying, and I started reading the literature, and they suggested I read myself into the Big Book, and I just identified. I actually thought the Big Book was written about me. That's how insane I was. I was so self-centred and self-involved. I thought, the Big Book had been written especially for me. And but it started describing what the program was about and looking at the first step. And it was an allergy, that it was a disease that I suffered from. It wasn't a weakness or lack of willpower or lack of strength or anything that I thought that it was. And it wasn't about social drinking or controlled drinking. It was about stopping drinking, stopping picking up one drink for one day at a time. It wasn't about stopping the 10th drink or stopping for 6 months or just being stronger. it was just a paradox in AA. It's the opposite to what I thought. That people in AA were telling me, just one drink for one day, throw in the tea towel, stop the fight, surrender, give in to it, accept alcoholism, and move on from there. And so that pamphlet, 12 Questions, was just really good for me. And I'm really glad I did. I don't know why I did it, but I sat down. I actually wrote out a page each question of those. I actually wrote my answer. It wasn't just a yes answer. I wrote my reason of why I wrote yes to the question. And that helped me later on, because when you get sober and start feeling a little bit better about 6-7 months later, and being going to meetings and meeting people and getting going, and wow, this is okay. And then you've got people telling you you're too young to be in AA, you're only a woman, or you're a Victorian or something like that, to then be able to, deep within myself, know that I was in the right place, that I was an alcoholic and that I needed recovery. And it really didn't matter what anybody around me said, it was irrelevant. And because I knew, and I just needed to read what I had written in my own handwriting about how I felt at that time. And so that was really good. And I liked that concept about, you know, it's a physical allergy coupled with mental obsession, which meant that when I drank, I couldn't stop, and when I stopped, I couldn't stay stopped. And so that was what my cycle was all about. And that I wasn't happy when I stopped. I was miserable when I was going to parties still and trying to do the same things that I'd always done. And looking at other people and saying to myself, there they are drinking, they're so lucky and they can cope with their lives, and here I am, I can't. And so my mindset was still on drinking or not drinking, it wasn't on recovery. And I needed to turn my thinking around, and that little saying, you know, to make your recovery a higher priority than your drinking, your desire to be sober greater than your desire to pick up a drink. And chances are you won't pick up a drink. And so that's what my recovery process is about. And just the understanding that it was a disease, which meant therefore that I personally couldn't do anything about it, that in itself, but there were things that I could do to gain help in overcoming it. And I'm absolutely convinced and know that my recovery comes from my higher power, and so that was a really important part. And I was absolutely terrified at that point. I thought I didn't want to know anything about God, and I didn't want to know anything about you know, spiritual experience and stuff like that. So I kind of held back a little bit on that, and I was just frightened. I didn't want any of that. So I went to a lot of meetings. I went to heaps and heaps and heaps of meetings. I went for that 2 years, about 12 meetings a week, and I bought all the literature and read it all, and I went to steps meetings and traditions meetings and beginners meetings, and everyone was on fire up in Canberra at that time, because it was just after the Canberra Convention in 1978, and so they were all fired up with all these new meetings, and so I just benefited by that hugely. And they spoilt me rotten, and when I finally moved back to Victoria, back to Geelong, I missed that really badly. But it was a really important part of my recovery too, in my understanding of the first step still, was as a foundation, because I just relied really heavily then on that foundation of because I had to start all over again and get to know new members again, and meetings were a little bit different, and there were changing times in AA, still are, and learning to adapt to those changes has been probably one of the most important things for me in my recovery over the process of the time. Was it is changing, there are different people, but I always maintain those basic same principles for myself. Even today, regarding the first step, is I know that I can't drink, and if I find myself in a situation that I feel uncomfortable, I just leave, and I don't think to myself, well, I'm 26 years sober, I should be able to handle this a bit better. If I feel a little bit uncomfortable, I'll just leave. I don't care. I don't want to subject myself to to turning my thinking pattern around to drinking or hanging out, not drinking or being conscious of it. I want to be conscious of recovery and grow on that. And so I guess hopefully that depicts, for me anyway, three dimensions of my drinking prior to drinking and in my drinking days of that mad cycle around, and then the desperately trying to control my drinking and stopping drinking, and I won't have one now, and yes, I'll have one now, and no, I won't, and you know, constantly thinking in my head about either drinking or not drinking, or somebody else is drinking and I'm not, and how am I going to get married, and how am I going to have kids, and how am I going to have my 50th birthday if I don't have a drink, you know, all that stuff, projection. And how the Big Book describes the, because that all depicts the problem. At this stage, we've only looked at the problem. Hopefully, we've looked at it fairly well. Like in the first step, the powerless, and the solution to the problem is the second step of power greater than myself to restore me to sanity. And the sanity, or the insanity that I was experiencing, was picking up a drink, knowing full well what it was going to do to me, and picking it up anyway. That was just insane. And you know, the second step goes on into the solution of that problem, and which is then being rocketed into the fourth dimension. I love that. I think, you know, it's just an understanding of an existence that I never had before, of a higher power in my life, and stuff starting to happen for me in sobriety that was so much better, like it's already been described. You know, it's just so much better sober, even my worst moments, and I've had some shocking moments sober, but even those times are nothing compared to drinking, because I've got hope, I've got encouragement, and I've got a program that's a blueprint for living, and I can suffer as long as I want to, and when I'm sick of suffering, I just pick up my blueprint for living and start doing it, and get results straight away. So there is a program for recovery, and it's a daily program, and I need to practice it today, for today. It doesn't matter what I did a year ago, it's what I do today for my recovery today. And so that's, for me anyway, the fourth dimension is one of recovery, of being happy and usefully whole in my recovery. And when I concentrate on drinking and not drinking, I think I am happily and usefully whole, but sometimes I do compare myself sideways and stumble myself by looking sideways and thinking, you know, I should be better than this, and then I just remind myself, and was nicely reminded this morning again, was Alcoholics Anonymous is about recovery from alcoholism and not picking up a drink and moving on to happy sobriety, and I think that Alcoholics Anonymous does that well. Well, for me in my life, and I've got 2 minutes remaining, and so I'm going to sit down and enjoy the weekend, and I appreciate the opportunity of sharing. It's an honour to share. It's a very scary process, and I hope it's been okay for you guys, but it's good to have a go. Thank you.
Thanks. Good on you.